If you'll open your Bibles this morning to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, Galatians 6, 14. Take notes, I've entitled it, The Golgotha Memorial. As we celebrate Memorial Day, we celebrate, of course, the soldiers, sailors, and Marines, Coast Guard, all the military who through the years have kept America free, and many of them have given up their life for our country. And we set aside this one day every year to remember them and to memorialize them. And so this morning I want to do that. But before we begin, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help us have a better understanding of our text. Father, we come to you in thanksgiving for America again being free. We thank you, Lord, that that you've given us our text, you've given us your word on everything. And as we heard in Exodus, Lord, the war between you and Pharaoh was short-lived. But what glory you had in the 10 plagues and in parting the Red Sea and then vanquishing the enemies of Israel and bringing them to the promised land. God, thank you for all of that. And we ask you now, as we look into this Galatian text, that you open up our eyes and our ears to it. You help us to have a better understanding of what it means to celebrate a memorial for those who fought and died. So we thank you for that and walk amongst us. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to every heart here. And if there's one without Christ, we pray that you might draw them to yourself, Father, and that you might open their eyes to the truth and let that truth set them free. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Yeah, so Memorial Day is a time when we celebrate the men and the women who fought and shed their blood for our country. It's a time when we celebrate the freedoms we enjoy because of the sacrifice that so many made. How do we do that? We have picnics, we have parades, family reunions, we get together. It's a time to enjoy what was bought for us. It was the peace and the freedom that we have. And every year, thousands and thousands of people visit memorials that we built to honor those military people who served and who died for America. There's the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. There's the USS Arizona Memorial in Hawaii. There's the Korean War National Memorial. There's the National World War II Memorial and the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall, just to mention a few of the memorials that we have to our soldiers, to our military people who have lost their lives. Now, these memorials are symbols, is what they are. They're symbols that celebrate the sacrifices that were made to keep our country free. I remember back in 1964, I signed my name on the line and gave them 4 years. Didn't matter where they sent me or what I did. I wanted to be there to protect our country. I just felt if I lived here, I should be able to, feel the need to defend it as best I could, even as a young man. Likewise, as I've told you many, many times, whatever goes on in this world has its equal or it has its twin in the spiritual realm. And there are also memorials in the scriptures. We find them all over the place. For example, 3,500 years ago, speaking of the Passover, God told Moses and Aaron, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial." Exodus 12:14. And Mark 14:9, Jesus, speaking of the woman who anointed him with the oil, said, "Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." And in Acts 10:4, the angel of God came to the centurion Cornelius and said, "Your prayers and alms are come up for a memorial before God." You remember the God of Scripture is the one who saves us children's tears. And without doubt, beyond any shadow of a doubt, both in this world and in the spiritual realm, the greatest memorial there ever was or ever will be is the Golgotha Memorial. The Golgotha Memorial. Golgotha is the hill where Jesus Christ sacrificed himself to bring freedom to his people. And to the Apostle Paul, the cross and Golgotha was what he lived for. It meant everything to him. Our text is the proof. "God forbid," he says, "that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." What in the world can we glory over that could be greater than the cross of Jesus Christ? That is a war memorial, isn't it? The cross that's behind me is in my heart and in every believer's heart. And it's a memorial to the great war between darkness and light. It's a memorial to God taking us out of the darkness and bringing us into the light. It's a memorial to our new life, our changed life. Yes, I didn't have hair when I got saved, and I'm still the same guy. But there's a new master in my life. I'm no longer the master. My master is Jesus Christ. And your master as a Christian is Jesus Christ. And that's what that cross represents. It's empty, by the way. You see, there's nothing on it. There's no corpus on it. It's because that he's not there. He died so that we wouldn't be in the world. He died so that we would know the truth. And that truth would set us free. And did it ever set us free? I would have never believed it. There isn't one person listening that's unsaved that was more unsaved than I was. When you're unsaved, you're unsaved. But when Christ broke me out of that darkness and opened my eyes to something I didn't want to see, when that happened, my life changed. You go up to any genuine Christian and you ask them if their life changed, if they were set free, if they realize that they're not in bondage anymore to anything. The only thing I'm bound to, Vinny, is that cross. Nothing else. I'm not a citizen here. I'm a citizen of heaven. I live here. I would join the military to fight for my country, to help my country stay free. And soldiers, sailors, and airmen are still doing that today. But there's a greater memorial, the memorial that sets you free into eternity. You see, those people that don't know Christ as their Savior, what happens is they live here, and their memorials are temporary memorials because that's all they can be. The very moment a person comes to know Christ, everything changes. Right, Bob? Everything changes. Your life changes. And you are free. In 1 Corinthians 2:2, Paul told the church at Corinth the same thing. He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul says in Galatians 2:20, "It is not I who live. Christ was crucified for me. It is not I who live. It is Christ who lives in me." The Golgotha Memorial is different from all the other memorials because it's a living memorial. The memorials celebrate the dead. The Golgotha Memorial celebrates life, new life. It's a living memorial. You know why? Because when he was taken off that cross at Golgotha and he was placed in a rich man's tomb, a borrowed tomb, when they went to embalm his body, the tomb was empty. It was empty. Luke 24:2-3. "And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. You know why? He was still alive. That's what makes that the Golgotha Memorial so different. It's a living memorial. That cross is part of it. It shows the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died on that cross. They put him in a tomb, and he resurrected. And you know why it's also a living memorial? Because after over 2,000 years, the bloody cross that stood on Golgotha is still saving lives. It's still saving lives. And you, Wendy, Jerry, Pam, all of you here, Dina, all of you are living proof that the Golgotha Memorial is a living memorial. Because you're alive in Christ because of Golgotha and the cross that was placed there with your Savior on it. In addition to giving eternal life, in addition to that, the Golgotha Memorial does something else. It celebrates the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophesied everything, and it was a shadow. If you look at it in summary, the Old Testament was a shadow of the New Testament. And when Jesus came, he fulfilled all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. He fulfilled them all, including the payment for sin for his people. In the Old Testament, you had to sacrifice animals, and the sin wasn't forgiven. The sin was just covered over. But the very moment Christ said in a loud voice, "It is finished," and he died. He was in the ground for 3 days. He resurrected and he made an atonement for our sin, which satisfied the Old Testament law that says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. His life, his blood was shed, that we would have this freedom of life now. It's also a monument to victory over the world. That's the finished work of Jesus Christ. We have the victory over the world. We see that in John 16:33. He says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And because you're in Christ and he's in you, his victories are your victories. It's also a monument to strength that God gives his people over evil. Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You know what that means? I give you the power over all evil, even the evil of yourself, because even though we're saved people, we haven't been totally regenerated. And we're always having either a spiritual attitude or a carnal attitude, and there's that battle that goes on between the two in our lives. It's called sanctification. We're being conformed to the image of Christ by using those battles every single day of our life. But he says in that verse, Jesus says in that verse, "I give you the power over all evil." That means that nothing can defeat you. No evil can defeat you. You can't even defeat yourself. And how many times have we tried to do that before we knew Christ? Who's your worst enemy before Jesus? You and I, we're our worst enemies. Who hurt you more than anybody else? We did. But now that's all gone. The Golgotha Memorial freed you from that. It freed you from your being bound to sin. You no longer have that. Those chains that you follow. Now you know the truth. And you know what sin is, and you know what evil and sin, and you know what good is. And now you can choose between the two. That's freedom. I was never free before I knew Christ. I only knew evil. Morals, the law, that's all we know. Oh, how wonderful it is to know the truth that there is evil and there is good. And I have the ability and you have the ability to choose which one we're going to do every single day. This morning, it was really early when I had my test. I told the Bible study about it. Yeah. First thing out of the gate was flesh. Second thing, and then after thinking about it a moment, I trusted in my faith, and my faith led the lead. I would have never done that if I wasn't saved. That's a testimony to Golgotha and that cross. That's a testimony to Jesus Christ dying for me and freeing me, freeing my mind from the evil that it once held. It's still there, but I have a new master, so now I can overpower it. You have power over all the evil in your life. And the Golgotha Memorial is also a beacon, a light that shines out, that celebrates the victory you and I have over sin and death. Romans 8:1-2. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. The law of sin is punished by death. I'm free of that. All my sins, all your sins, all those sins of the elect, past, present, and future, are all paid for in full. In full. That's the most wonderful freedom in the world. How many countries have lost thousands, maybe even hundreds of thousands of warriors in a fight for freedom? And they win the battle. And 40 years later, where are they? Right back in bondage. I'm never going into bondage to sin, and neither are you. You're freed. And so we remember Memorial Day, but the spiritual Memorial Day is really personal because it's happened to you and I. Each and every one of us has felt the freedom, has felt the new life, has felt the victory we have in our faith in Christ and that cross. I'd also have you note that in the spiritual realm, there are two types of memorials in the spiritual realm. There's the sin memorial, and then there's the Golgotha. And you know what's unique about both of those? They're both universal. They happen all over the planet. The sin memorial, you know what a sin memorial is? I don't remember where I heard it, but somebody said, every time you drive by a cemetery and you look at those tombstones, you're looking at a memorial to sin, because those represent death. And Genesis 1 and 2, there was no death. It only came about when man committed treason against God. Those tombstones that decorate cemeteries are sin memorials. And they started Genesis 3:19. It was when man was condemned to death. By the sweat of your face, God told Adam, you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, till you return to it. For out of it you were taken, creatures of dust, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So every time you look at a tombstone, you're looking at a memorial to sin. And since then, every single human death is a memorial to the destructive power of sin. Now, the second universal spiritual memorial is the Golgotha memorial. The bloody cross of Golgotha is a memorial to grace and love that God has for his people. There's no greater symbol you will ever see or know than the cross of Jesus Christ. He was God. He was willing to be humbled. He was willing to be born a human being lower than his servant angels. He was willing to be persecuted. He was willing to be belittled. He was willing to be tortured. And he was even willing to step up on that cross for you, Henry, and let those men nail him to it. But it wasn't the nails that kept him there. It was his death. It was his love for Tony that kept him on that cross. And he was there for 3 hours enduring the pain and suffering that his father put him through, because he put all of our sins, all of the sins of his elect people, all of those sins were placed on him so that we would be free. We would be totally free and never again go into bondage again, no matter how long we live, no matter where we live, we'll never be in bondage again, because he paid the price in full for us. And there is no other freedom that tops the freedom of salvation, freedom from the darkness and the enemy, Satan. None. The bloody cross at Golgotha, we see that grace and love in Romans 5:8. For God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Each and every soul, from Paul the apostle, from Peter, all the apostles in the New Testament, all the way up through the church history to you and I sitting in the pews today, all of us were sinners before we got saved. All of us were. We know what the dark side is. And then one day, he called us out. Some of us thought we were religious, thought we knew God. Others didn't want anything to do with him. But in any case, he called us out. And when he called us out, the only thing you ever wanted from that point on was him. The only thing you cared about was that you didn't offend him. When you got saved, you were convicted. That's the first thing you do. You see God as he is, and you see yourself in relation to him, and you realize you're a sinner, and you have nothing in your heart, but you want him to forgive you because you're convicted of that sin. And when that happens, there's a freedom. You get that freedom. The Bible says that if you seek, you'll find. And if you come to Christ, you'll find that freedom you'll find nowhere else. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. There's no other way you can do it. No other way you can get his freedom than through his sacrifice, his blood. The cross is the exact opposite of the sin memorial, because it symbolizes life, not death. 1 Peter 2:24, for he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. By his wounds we were healed. More than healed. And I'll also let you know that the Golgotha memorial is also a memorial to the unknown soldier king. Did you know that? The unknown soldier king who died for the sins of his people. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, so that whoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I say unknown because the world rejects him, doesn't want anything to do with him, so they don't know him. John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. And there are many others. There are many today in Christendom who claim to be Christians. They claim Jesus Christ. They claim all the promises of the Bible. They claim it all. But yet they reject his word. They cherry pick it, or they just reject it outright. They say, well, I like this, but not, listen, I can't do that, but I'll do this. It's like you're negotiating. You don't negotiate with God. You're either saved or you're lost. It's either yes or it's no. Luke 6:46 gives us an example. Now, this is Jesus speaking to people who claimed to be Christians, who claimed to be followers of Christ. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" And isn't that true today in much of Christendom, where people go to churches that fly flags out there that in front of their church that completely contradict what the Bible says? Where dead pastors get up in a pulpit and preach dead messages to dead people because there's no truth in it. It's going on. It's going on today, probably more than it ever did. But still, the call goes out. Still, the call goes out to the world. In Matthew 11, 28, 29, Jesus said this. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest in your soul." And isn't that what we did when we got saved? Wasn't the burden reduced or relieved? Wasn't the pressure of not knowing replaced with the knowledge that everything is by God's ordained or permitted will? Didn't that relieve stress and pressure of living in this world? If you're listening to this and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're doing that, ask yourself, are you free? Are you really free? Does your life have a purpose other than living another day, going on vacation in July? Is that your life? Does your life have any purpose other than that? If that's you, you need to ask yourself, well, what if this guy up there is telling the truth? What if it's true that I need Jesus Christ? I need to be forgiven. If you don't feel the need to be forgiven, that means that your heart isn't being stirred. But if you're listening to this and you're feeling convicted, you're saying to yourself, you know what? I need to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. I know that there's an afterlife, and I want to be on the right side of that. If that's you, it's a very simple thing to do. You do just what your mother said to do. Julie, didn't you teach your children that if you do something wrong, apologize. Tell them you're sorry. And then when you're done telling them you're sorry, act like you mean it. Don't just say it. And that's all that God says. You're a sinner. You need to repent of your sins. You need to ask him to forgive you. And then you need to ask him to come into your life and to just help you get through this life and into the next life. And it's that simple. The Bible says if you do that in Romans 10, 13, all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then you live that way. And I want to say this. I can't tell you in my almost 30 years of being a Christian, how many unsaved people live a Christian life. They don't swear, they don't steal, they don't commit adultery, they don't do all the evil things that a lot of people, they're very moral people. But if they lied one time, they're a sinner. And all sin has to be paid for by God. You have to pay for your sin, or you have to have Christ do it. If that's you and you want him to pay for your sin debt, you call me or see me, and I'll show you in his word how he wants you to celebrate the Golgotha Memorial with all the other saints. The cross is still there. You come with a repentant heart. And lastly, the Golgotha Memorial is an eternal memorial. It's not just one that's here until for generations. It's eternal. For those who reject Christ, darkness, pain, and suffering are an eternal memorial to God's justice, his righteousness, and his glory. See, that's why there is a punishment, because God's justice has to be upheld. He's perfect. You can't sin against God and get away with it. And for those who enter heaven, the nail prints in the Lord's hands and his feet will remind you that your salvation took place at the Golgotha Memorial. when you asked him to help you get over yourself, have a better life in this world, but most importantly, to forgive your sins. And I dare say in this world today we live in, the condition it's in today is because of the lack of love, true love, and forgiveness. Nobody forgives anymore. You don't have to live in that. You may live in the world, but you don't have to be a part of that. The love of God, the love of God changes every life it touches. So on Memorial Day, let's not forget all the men and women who died, who bled and died and shed their blood for America. It's a wonderful country. Let's celebrate their life and death for our freedom. But let's also never forget, the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, who suffered and died to set the world free from man's worst enemy, death, the devil, and themselves. Mind you, Jesus Christ is the only man that ever lived or ever will live to sacrifice his life to save people from every nation, not just one, from every nation. So let's give him today, every day, the glory, honor, and praise he so richly deserves for establishing the Golgotha Memorial and the cross of Jesus Christ to save a people for his name.